This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We had a program on British TV about music called The Old Grey Whistle Test. It's a really good show. And David Heckwood, I think it was, did a really good interview with Bruce at the time. And they're doing and that was my introduction because I was still quite young to go to concerts and things like that. So that was my first introduction to hearing him actually talk and put his thoughts out there. And so I really enjoyed that. But as soon as that finished, it went into Frankie Goes to Hollywood singing Born to Run. What an excellent song. So then literally within a couple of days, I bought the Born to Run album and I bought the River album, and all of it has become a lifelong, I wouldn't say, it's a lifelong obsession, and it's got me through some really hard times. And I'm sure Springsteen fans all over the world who can relate to that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. We are doing another timey-wimey episode. It is my morning, my guest afternoon. I am drinking morning coffee. I don't know if he is having afternoon tea or perhaps a more adult beverage, but either way, Ian, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
I am great. Let's get started. Tell us a little about yourself.
Okay. My name's Ian. I'm Ian Gravel. I live in this tiny little village down in West Wales. Basically, I had a huge accident in my 20s. I was in a wheelchair for quite a long time, and I learned to walk listening to the music of Bruce Springsteen.
Wow. That is a story, and I can't wait to get to that. That's a great tease, Ian. Way to go. But I always like to start at the beginning. So talk about where did you grow up? What kind of music were your family listening to when you were younger?
Okay. I lived not that far from where I am now, actually. I lived about 45 minutes drive from where I am now. My dad was a big Perry Como. That's what he listened to when I was young, growing up, that kind of thing. So it was very easy listening. So I think the first I ever bought was Rat by the Boomtown Rats when I was about 11 years old. And born in the US.
All right. Ian, one of the things that I ask when I'm visiting with someone is if they can remember when they first discovered Bruce. And what about his music spoke to you? It sounds like after the Boomtown Rats, Born in the USA was the next story you're going to tell. So go ahead, tell me this.
I can remember the media campaign for Born in the USA. I think I was 13 years old when it first came out. And all of a sudden, it was a dynamic campaign. I'm sure you can remember everything before, such as Rid the River, Born to Run, Greetings, all the, those albums, they came after Born in the USA to me, because I got really taken in with the media marketing, and I loved it. And I can remember buying it on tape cassette. Remember back at the back in those days, and I listened it end to end continuously. I loved it.
Yeah, I can. I always like to joke about that. My first musics were all in 8-tracks. That's how old I am, Ian. My first album I ever bought with my own money was Elton John's Greatest Hits on an 8-track, which was, and that my first tape deck in my car was always 8-track. And then when we switched to cassette, it was like, oh, wow. What about Born in the USA spoke to you?
To be honest with you, that rebellious stance, the his back up against the flag, always appealed to me. That kind of image, whatever you can throw at me, I will stand up and take it. And I had a very nice life, had a very privileged life. I was very lucky. But I think as a teenager, we look at James Dean and Rebel Other Cause, you dream of rebellion, you dream of something to come along and grab you, shake you by your lapels, and pull you into life.
Yeah, and that image of Bruce and the American flag spoke to that part of you?
Definitely. Then you had songs like No Surrender, I'm Not Giving Up, I'm Going to Keep Going, No Surrender, I'm going to Go. And Bobby Jean, that friendship you'd have with someone that you'd actually write a song, I think that could relate to anybody who's got a friend.
Yeah, I love often... Hardcore fans will go, Born in the USA, because it has been played so often, right? And it is. But it is the gateway album to many of Springsteen fans, right? Many of us found Bruce. That was the first time we noticed him. For me, it was The River. But yeah, I think that sometimes... hardcore fans get lost, and because it was so commercial, it is just a brilliant album. I totally agree.
I agree with you completely. To be perfectly honest, if I'd been born 5 years earlier, I'd have probably The River would have been the first introduction as well. But coincidentally, yesterday was the anniversary of the album reaching number one in the UK record charts.
Wow. Okay.
I can't remember what that would have been. Would it, but 37 years, I think 35 or 30, it's either 35 or 37 years. But that one went, and I'm not funny. Springsteen deserved that. He'd done the hard time. I'm sure, like you, like me, you've read his book. When he says when he was doing The River, he literally had only enough money to buy a second-hand car, despite the fact he was a global artist. He still wasn't bringing in the big bucks, and the Born of the USA did it for him.
Yeah, I think said. Did once you mentioned that all these other albums came after Born in the USA, what did you do after Born in the USA? Did it speak to you and you went, oh, wait a minute, and you had to learn everything about this guy?
Yeah, but it was. I don't know if you remember, Jess, but we had a program on British TV about music called The Old Grey Whistle Test.
I did not know that one. Okay,
it's a really good show, and David Atwood, I think it was, did a really good interview with Bruce at the time, and they doing and that was my introduction because I was still quite young to go to concerts and things like that. So that was my first introduction to hearing him actually talk and put his thoughts out there. And so I really enjoyed that. But as soon as that finished, it went into Frankie Goes to Hollywood singing Born to Run.
Ah,
what an excellent song. So then literally within a couple of days, I bought the Born to Run album and I bought the River album, and all of it has become a lifelong... I wouldn't say, it's a lifelong obsession, and it's got me through some really hard times. And I'm sure Springsteen fans all over the world who can relate to that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that it does talk about, right? One of the reasons why I have this podcast is that so many people have that love of his music, and that music helped them through many hard times. Absolutely. Talk to me. I always have to preface this, Ian, with the amount of times you've seen Bruce perform live is not a fair barometer of how big of a fan you are. But have you been able to see him? And if so, do you count?
Yes. But I've either seen him 19, 20, or 21 times. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
But I've been to see him in New York a couple of times. I've mm-hmm. been to see him in Ireland. I've been to see him in Italy and all around the UK.
Oh, nice.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Any stories that stand out that you want to share about going to concerts or shows?
When I went to the Broadway show, I actually met Bruce outside the theater.
Okay.
And I had two guitar picks in my pocket. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Welsh flag, but it's a red dragon on a green and white background.
Okay.
And I had the Welsh dragon flag plectrums, had two of them in my pocket, and I actually gave them to Bruce before the concert when he was signing my book. And I said, look, I brought these, I traveled halfway across the world to you. And then we were about halfway through Thunder Road, and I grabbed my wife's arm because he was playing Thunder Road with a guitar pick that I gave him.
No
way.
My wife
whispered back to me, she goes, yeah, absolutely, man. He goes, because he has this little coffee table there full of plectrums, but she goes, he ignored them and he got into his pocket where he put the one that you, the two that you gave him.
Oh, so, my so that's goodness.
That's a really cool story, isn't it?
That is a great story, Ian. Wow. Yeah. That is so great. Man, I love that story.
Can I tell you another little story?
Please, Jesse? Please. Yes, I'd love
okay.
it.
Okay. Like I said earlier, I had this big car crash. It was on a Friday night. It was all snowy and raining. And I fractured my skull, broke all my ribs, and I broke my legs in 26 different places. It was such a serious accident. It was touch and go whether I'd make it through the night. But I made it. Obviously, I made it through the night. But it was touch and go there whether I'd walk again. I was in hospital for months. And I could not learn to walk. I could not take that first step. They had all this physiotherapy apparatus, which I had to learn to walk on. And I just couldn't take that one step. They took my daughter out of school and she'd be standing next to this physio staff going, "Go on, Dad, you can do it." And I just couldn't. I did not have the ability to walk again. And it was horrible. Then one of the nurses started playing.
Yeah, I want to pause you there. Just I'm curious, was it because you were afraid to move? Was it just you couldn't connect the brain to going to your feet? Why did the doctors explain, or do you have a theory why you just couldn't move?
Yeah, two things.
Okay.
First one, it was just too really painful.
Okay.
And the second one was there was a lot of weakness in my legs, which I couldn't sure. overcome because my legs had lost so much weight of the muscle tone. But anyway, so one of the nurses started playing Born in the USA, my cassette of Born in the USA. So all these songs would come and go, Born in the USA, Bobby Jean, Cover Me, No Surrender. And I got to Dancing in the Dark. And you got that brilliant line, "You can't start a fire without a spark." And that gave me that fantastic kick up the backside to walk 3 meters. Not unaided, I was aided all the way, but I learned to walk to the song Dancing in the Dark. And I have ever, that song has come and gone throughout my life. And it is like a physical presence in my life. It is my best friend.
Yeah, I love that. And the idea that what was it just because the joy of that music helped to combat the pain?
I think it's that line, as if he was singing it right into my head. You can't start a fire without a spark. As if he was shouting to me, you have to take that next step.
Oh, man.
Man, it is an awesome. It is awesome. This song has been so good to me.
I've had Land of Hope and Dreams, a similar feeling to me. I had a family member that was going through a rough time, and I played Land of Hope and Dreams for them. And when I emphasized, faith will be rewarded, right? The other line is, all that heaven will allow. That song, some men want to die young, man, young and gloriously. Get it now, straight now, mister, that ain't me. I had cancer back in 2017. Luckily, I'm fine now. But that song, right, that's not me. I want all the time that heaven can allow. And I love hearing stories that these songs become personal to us. I'd love to hear your thoughts, because when I was lucky enough to go to Broadway too, I got my wife found out that I wanted to go. She helped me figure out a way so that we could afford to go. And so I'm sitting, and I had heard that he did Dancing in the Dark during the show. Yeah. And I was like, I like Dancing in the Dark, but that just seems an odd choice for acoustical story show, right?
Yeah.
So I'm there in Broadway, and he gets to the point, and he says, and basically, as we reach the point where you're worried about what to do, and I suggest you do what my mother did, put on your shoes and dance. And he goes Dancing in the Dark to Land of Hope and Dreams. And I went, okay, I was a stupid person to question Bruce's song choices. And secondly, it is a perfect song. I don't know if you have any memories of that moment, but if you do, I'd love to hear them. As much as that song meant to you, to hear that at Broadway, tell me about that a little bit.
Well, thank God my wife was sitting next to me and kept me sat down because I'd have been jumping all over the. I wanted to jump all over the place. I was just so excited. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's something you just become a kid again.
And, yeah.
But Jesse, on Broadway, it's absolutely true. I, you may know I've written a book about my experience and how I've learned to walk again and huge motorcycle journeys I've done around the world, and it's doing really well. I go around the place now doing book talks, and I finish my book talk with an acoustic version on my guitar of Dancing in the Dark.
Oh, that is awesome. I was not aware. I knew you had written the book, and I was looking forward to talking about that. But, oh, that is lovely.
And I've got to stand up in front of all these people and spare my soul about what I've gone through. And that is the perfect ending to that.
Yeah.
I'm a very lucky person.
So obviously, if this was a movie, you would move that first time and, oh my goodness, things go on. But I assume a pretty long, painful, hard journey to learn to walk again.
Yes. And the thing is, Jesse, I'm not being melodramatic with it. It's painful now. It's painful every day. But like I said, I'm a very lucky person. It could have been so much the other way.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do a book, Ian?
I got to the age now. I got some grandchildren come along.
Okay.
And they are these beautiful little people who come along and they look at you and they got so much respect and cheek, obviously, and you just want them to know what you've gone through in your life, and hopefully things which have happened to you won't happen to them. So I decided to write, when lockdown happened, I decided to put all my thoughts down in a book.
Yeah.
And I crossed America a couple of years ago on a motorcycle. And so I'd done a blog, which had been pretty successful. So I combined me learning to walk again with doing Route 66 on a holiday.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was great. So I thought I'd write a book and I'd print off 20 copies, give it to friends and family, and that's it, yeah? Then
sure.
There's this great artist friend of mine down here who plays drums, and I've played with him occasionally, called Simon Pugh Jones. And he said, I've heard you've written this book. Your wife told me you've written this book. Can I read it, please? And I said, yeah, okay. So he read it. And he goes, oh, Ian, this is fantastic. I really enjoy it. But my mate wants to read it now. And at this stage, obviously, it's my heart. It's the most honest thing I've ever done in my life. And, and I said, I'm not sure if I really want to get about everywhere. He goes, oh, my mate is really excited. He took it to his friend. And his friend's a published author. And then I have his phone call one day and say, I want to meet you. And it was this guy, Alan Gibbard. He's a published author. And I met him in a pub in Cardiff. And he started initially just spouting out huge chunks of my manuscript, this book that I'd written. And so I thought, wow, he must be impressed. And he goes, this is a really good story, Ian, but it isn't a book. It needs a lot of work to put it into a book. And I can do that to you. I can edit and change things around. So that's because Hemingway always stated the secret of a good book is get to the end as quickly as you can and then explain how you got to the ending. So that's what my book is all about. How I got over the accidents, how I did Across America on a book. And then the last third of the book is all about how I got between them. And I have to state, because probably most of you listeners in America, I'm very grateful for everyone in America who's bought my book. It's an Amazon bestseller over there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. Loose Gravel, Broken Bones, Broken Dreams Made Good on a Broken Road. It is available on paperback and Kindle from Amazon. So I see that is that how you say Gibbard?
Alan, yeah.
Yeah, is that the one who helped you to say, I can help you.
He turned it from a story into a book.
I love that. That is the perfect, right? From a story to a book. Because we all have stories to tell, but not all of us can make them into a book. Yeah.
I have all these lovely stories. I'm going to see Bruce Springsteen in Cardiff in May. So I'm desperately trying to see if I can see him to give him a copy of the book. That would be the cherry on the cake for me.
Did What did you learn doing this? What did you learn from writing the book?
What I learned was how fragile we all can be.
Yeah.
I still can't open the book without crying. There's bits in it which
Wow.
are deeply inside me. They affect me deep inside, and it is a very difficult, mind you, and I'm sure it does to you sometimes. I listen to the Dancing in the Dark on a certain day, whatever, and I'll be in tears listening to that song.
Yeah.
So the book has taught me what I didn't realize, what I haven't realized for the last 28 years, how badly the accident and what happened to me affected me mentally. So it's been this huge cleansing experience for me. I got things off my chest, and I felt when I finished the book, especially when it got published, like this massive weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And to a certain extent, it's like a second birth. You're living your life again.
What I, yeah, I, like I said, every pretty often I will play the Dancing in the Dark into Land of Hope and Dreams, that, and just when I feel like my soul needs to be refreshed, right? That way where you take a hot shower and kind of to wake up or something and feel.
I know exactly what you're talking about,
So, Ian, where had you always loved motorcycles? Where did this
Yeah,
love come from?
I'd always loved motorcycles from young, but I didn't get my motorcycle license till way after I had the accident.
Okay.
And when you hit the hitting circuit, I want to live a bit more. So I bought motorcycles. I toured Europe a little bit, toured the British Isles, a little bit in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'd been to ridden from Vegas to California on a bike, and that was great fun. And you're just looking for that next big thing, that next rush. And when I was crossing America, then Western Stars just came out,
Okay.
and you're crossing Arizona and things like, oh, what a lovely album to be listening to as you're. That's what I'd be listening to in these horrible little motel rooms every night. I'd be listening to that on my headphones on my phone. It was great.
What led you to do this? What about, talk to me about how you came up with this idea, why you decided to do it, and I'm candidly, as a husband, how did your lovely bride give you the time to take that?
I was very lucky. I decided to take all my holidays in 1 month, and I took 1 month off.
Okay.
And it was just, I love Americana. Like I said, the Born in the USA album was my introduction to Springsteen.
Sure.
And the idea of the United States being such a vast continent, isn't it, to be fair to
Yes.
it? And to cross that on a motorbike, that is going to be a real achievement.
Yeah.
I thought, people do it, so let's get out there and have some fun and get on with it.
And
But yeah, I really fancy coming through the Ozarks, when you get that green plush countryside all around you, and we have coyotes running down the road beside us, and then you get as far as Arizona, and you get that the New Mexico with that burning heat, which is on your back all the time. And we did an offshoot. You'd see Billy the Kid, and we went out to Roswell, and
yeah.
we kept on going to Flagstaff. And then we shot up to Las Vegas again, and they came to California. It is the most fun I've had for it is the most fun I've had in my life with my clothes on.
That, well said. Who did you travel with?
I got a mate locally who was also a big motorcycle fan, and he'd had a pretty serious accident. He cut his head open on a bike, and then on in a car, and it wasn't nice to see. And
Yeah.
so we talked about it for a few months, and then we thought, come on, then let's go and do it. So we did.
That is nice. It, I love the fact that she, that your family supported you on this. That is, and the, I love the idea of Western Stars, because in a lot of ways, I feel like it is an underappreciated album of Bruce's. He isn't doing any songs from it on the, at least last year he didn't. I love the film. I am jealous of everyone who is in that barn wishing I could be there. That's, and I love the idea that, you know, because he talks about it on Broadway and he talks about in the autobiography about how he fell in love with the West, being a New Jersey kid, the East Coast, but that idea of that space. And I had a really good friend once. They were a couple, and I was talking to one of them, and it was Kyle, and Kyle was talking about his husband, Phil, and he said Phil grew up in the New York, and so living here in Texas, and they had a really beautiful, I can't remember what car it was. It was like a Volvo or an Audi, or it was just a really made luxury car. Yeah. And we were going 90 on the expressway, and you couldn't feel a bump. And Kyle was explaining that Phil, because of growing in New York, the idea of being able to be in that open of space and to go that fast was very alluring to him. So I think that might have been part of Bruce's challenge and in how much he enjoyed that. Yeah.
But back to the promised land, Snake Speedway and the Utah Desert.
Yes.
That feeling of expanse, and you get that in the Nebraska album as well.
Yeah.
And I can remember hearing the director of the film Philadelphia. I remember watching an interview with him, and he was looking for someone to do the theme tune for the film. And he wanted someone who could express cinematic detail in a song. And he couldn't think of anyone else who could do it better than Bruce. And when I wrote the book, I wanted to express the same cinematic detail that you can hear in a Springsteen song. And I really hope I managed that.
So you had mentioned, yes, I could see that would be a very good goal. So you talked about that it's been well received, the book?
Yes, it is. I've had some lovely feedback on it. I'm very lucky.
Uh-huh. Did
equally worked very hard on it, but I've gone around. I've also done a show on Radio 4 about Bruce Springsteen as well in the BBC Radio 4.
Oh, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, one of the researchers got a copy of my book. Mm-hmm. And then they got hold of me through various channels, and they asked me to go to the BBC studio in Cardiff, and I did, and I managed to have the opportunity to talk about how important the song Dancing in the Dark is to me, which to this day I'm incredibly proud of. That's one of that was great. So it's telling the story of what happened to me. And I had the researcher and the girl asking the questions in the office, and they were both in tears. They were both in floods of tears.
Yeah, I was able to hear that. You sent me a link and I loved hearing it. And yeah, I think you did a great job. And it is how often that song has come back to you, right? That it means so much to you, and you've been able to, it's been in a lot of ways the theme of your life, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Funnily enough, this reminds me of a conversation I was having with my son yesterday, and we were talking about things, and we were talking about the success of the book, and he stated to me, because Dad, if they made the book into a film, who would you like to play? Who would you like to play you? Mm-hmm. And I answered, almost without thinking about it, Sam Rockwell.
Okay.
Do you know Sam Rockwell?
I do.
Yeah. But if you look, his thing in every Brad Pitt, whenever he's on screen, he'll always find a point in the film where he has to eat.
Yeah.
Because that is his thing. Sam Rockwell's thing is he has to dance.
Yes.
If you look at him in Iron Man, he has to have a dance. If you look at him with Jojo Rabbit, he has to dance. And I thought, that is perfect, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So if that ever happened, he's the guy I want to be playing. He'd have to work on his Welsh accent, but I reckon he'd do a good job.
Yeah, he's absolutely a wonderful actor. And the first time I remember seeing him is in the, he was great in Vice as George Bush, Three Billboards, but
yes, definitely.
I'm going through IMDb so I can go that the Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest. I couldn't believe it. He was great in Green Mile, absolutely. But I loved him in Galaxy Quest. He was just wonderful in that. Oh, I think that's a great choice. He is a very interesting actor. I agree. He'd be wonderful in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. So what's next for you?
Next for me? I love doing the book talks. I get some messages back, Jesse. Yeah. A message back just after Christmas from a chap, and he goes, "Hi, Ian, you don't know me. I bought your book, and I just want to tell you what a wonderful read it is, how much I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much, I've given it to my mother to read." Yeah. And she's finished it now. And today she went shopping, which doesn't sound like much, but my mother's agoraphobic. She hasn't been outside the house for 3 years. And your book inspired her to go outside and do something.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, that is just mind-blowing stuff, isn't it? And that's where it shocked me. I could understand the book being people who love Route 66 and Americana really loving it, motorcycles, obviously. But I didn't see it initially as a self-help book. And that's where it's fast going, which is great. If it helps someone do something, then I've done something right with it, haven't I?
Yeah, and what I love is when you can forget all the awards and all the being on bestsellers. From me, and I won't speak for you, but hearing one message like that has to be like, okay, I am so grateful that I did this.
I am. I really am. I tell that story to everyone because I think that's a blessed thing to have happened in my life. The fact that my little story has inspired someone to start living their life again, as far as I'm concerned, man, the book has done exactly what it should have done.
Yeah. I did want to catch, I wanted your theory. What's your thoughts on it's faded a little way because we are looking forward to the new set, the new tour in 2024.
Yeah.
But what was your thoughts about him not changing the set list up very much?
To be honest, yeah, there was a lot of controversy about that, really, wasn't there?
There was, yes.
But I loved it. This the first time I saw it, I was in Long Island in New York.
Yeah.
And that was great. Whilst I was in New York, a friend got in touch with me from Norway. And she goes, "Oh, I'm not in New York at this time of year. I'll see you in Ireland." And I said, "I'm not going to Ireland because I haven't got a ticket." She goes, "I got a ticket. Come to meet me in Ireland." So I did. And then when I was in Ireland, I was right up close, even to the point of I could see Stevie drinking his water at the side of the stage. So that was a different dynamic I saw the concert in. Then we went to see him in Italy in Bologna. And that was great. We saw him in a different section. So as far as I'm concerned, that didn't affect me at all. I really enjoyed not changing the thing because I managed to see it in four or five different formats just from different positions. So I managed to enjoy it in four or five different positions. And I really enjoyed that. I think he played Pay Me My Money down in Ireland. I think that's the only thing he deviated from in all of them.
And that's a fun song. I love that
song. It is a fun song. I like that song as well.
Yeah, that's good. What have I not asked you that I should have, Ian? What is this? Is there any stories? I'm sure you have tons of stories, but there's one that you specifically wanted to share today.
To be honest, we've talked about everything, but I'd like to talk about another artist, another band.
Sure.
That's okay, just for 1 second. That's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
There's an Irish band out there called the Hot House Flowers, which you may or may not be familiar with, but because there's another song which played a big role in my story. It's called a song called Don't Go. And if you can Google it and listen to it after the thing, because it's a beautiful little song.
I just Googled it and I will make sure and listen to it. Okay.
Please do. And you listen to the song, and it sounds like a chap singing to a girl, as in, please don't go, my life will be empty without you. But when you hear the meaning of the song, and the song was written for what a chap singing to another chap, but he's on a life support machine. He's very likely not going to survive. And so the song means, don't go, don't die, because the world is such a beautiful place. And that really resonated with me, because my best friend, Craig, who now lives in Holland, he came to see me every day. He came to sit at my bedside, and he gave me that emotional support that I really needed. Because at that time, I still thought I was going to die anyway. I thought he was literally wasting his time, because I didn't think I'd be alive by the end of the week. But he came to see me every day, and I was absolutely excellent. And last year, on my birthday, the 10th of May, I managed to see the Hothouse Flowers in concert in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I was really pleased that Liam O'Manley, the lead singer and keyboard player, played the entire gig with my book on his piano.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that lovely?
That is lovely. Oh, nice. Oh, man. I've picked up the book via Kindle, so I'm planning to read it shortly. I will certainly email you and give me my thoughts and feedback on it.
I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah. If one of the things, if someone wants to reach you, how can they?
I've got a website. It's www.loosegravel.co.uk. It's really important you put the .co.uk, not .com, because otherwise you go to a road sweeping company.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and you can do that. And you can see exactly, I've got a blog there, I've got a newsletter, and you can find out exactly what I'm up to. I'm planning on taking a motorcycle to the Arctic Circle next year and coming back via Poland. So that's going to be a big, big ride, and I'm really looking forward to that. And in 26, I'm planning on coming back to the States, flying to Seattle, taking the Pacific Coast Highway down to Los Angeles, and then doing Route 66 the wrong way around, as it were, from Los Angeles to Chicago.
Yeah. So I...
Perhaps we could meet up in Texas.
Yes, I would love that. Yes.
Wouldn't that be fun? That would be fun.
That would be so fun. Yeah. So it is... Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. loosegravel.co.uk. And I will include that link of the story. I am so glad you spent time with me this afternoon. I do hope we get to meet somehow. That'd be great. And you mentioned you've already got a couple of shows. You've got tickets already for this in 2024?
Yeah, I got tickets in 24. Just the UK. I may go to Ireland. When it starts getting a bit closer, you start getting itchy and you've got this fear of missing out. So you've got to get more tickets.
That is the fear of missing out is absolutely due. I have tickets in April. I am flying to Columbus. And so far, that's lovely. The only tickets I have this year. But I'm waiting for other dates to see what else he's going to do, US, and hopefully to see. So thank you. Ian, this was just lovely. Thank you so much for your time. Any final thoughts before I ask you the Mary question?
Any final thoughts? I'm just extremely grateful to be on your show. I think it's been great. I love your show. I love your format and the way you do it. Like I said, I feel very privileged and lucky to have been asked to do it. Thank you.
That's very kind of you to say. So I end every podcast. If you are, by the way, if you are a fan of Ian's book and you're checking out the podcast, thank you. I end every podcast with the Mary question. And so what this is, Jay Armstrong, who is a retired English teacher, but when he was teaching, he would give his students the lyrics to Thunder Road. They would read it and study it as if it was a poem, and then they would just talk about Bruce's imagery, his choice of lyrics, and then at the end of the class, he would ask his students, does Mary get in the car? So that is your question, Ian. Does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road?
Most definitely.
All right. So tell me about it. Why do you say that?
Can you imagine? It's that small town syndrome. You're there, there's nothing happening, and the coolest guy in the neighborhood calls by, and you think, so Mary, get in. It's a town full of losers. We're pulling out of here too. And there is no way she wouldn't get in that car. She has to get in that car. She has to grab her future. She has to go out and live it in the best way. And the only way that she is going to do that is by getting in that car.
I love that. Very nice. Ian, thank you again. Everyone, go to the website, check out the book, check out his blog, and tell you what, when you, after your next trip, let's have you back on and we'll tell some stories from that. I'm going to end with, it's the same sad story, love and glory going round and round. It's the same old cliche, a wanderer on his way, slipping from town to town. Some find peace here on the streets, the sweet streets of home, where kindness falls and your heart calls for a permanent place on your own. I'm a wayfarer baby. I drift from town to town. Ian, I am so glad you joined me. I am glad you were able to get that wayfarer itch scratched, and I hope you continue to travel and tell stories.
Yeah, I do too. I'm very grateful, Jesse. Thank you very much. Let's stay in touch, yeah?
Sounds great. Listeners, be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm about to name some people who helped me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce, and for as little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little as $1 a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen, and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you.
There we go, another episode. I'm about to go through a couple of things where you can reach me and give me feedback. So if you want to skip this, I understand. But I do hope you check it out every once in a while. I'm available on Twitter at JesseJacksonDFW. The show is available at SetLustingBruce. You can send me an email, setlustingbruce@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail at 469-249-2442. I am currently doing a few other podcasts. Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, where Sylvan Groth and I discuss every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. My Babylon 5 podcast is Last Best Hope for Conversation, where Lou, Karen, and I discuss every episode of Babylon 5 in chronological order. I still am doing Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast with my brother in time, Charles Skaggs. And then finally, How Many Podcasts, the only podcast on the internet that counts, where my buddies and I discuss pop culture. You can go to our Patreon page and support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. You can go to our Facebook page, like, and please, please go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review for all of the podcasts that I'm doing. It's okay if you don't listen to them, but if you subscribe and rate, it really will make my day better. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thinking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Set Lusting Bruce.
The theme for Set Lessing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.